Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Sweet Sweet Garbage. So this week, we are going to be doing a little movie called 9 1/2 Weeks. One of my favorites. I love it. The original Christian Grey, or should I say John Grey, and this sexy exploits between him and Elizabeth McGovern. So yes, McGraw.
McGovern's
that's
that
a real
actress,
person.
Right?
That's a real person.
imagine this was based on a real person apparently, but not Elizabeth McGovern.
Yeah, as sorry, my bad. My bad. This is how rumors get started in Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah, this is like one of my favorite movies. So, Bailey, do you want to go into a little synopsis of it?
Yeah, so the IMDb synopsis says, a woman becomes involved with a man she barely knows. Complications develop during their sexual escapades. I think one of my favorite things, though, is the tagline. It's when something's this hot, let it burn.
Shit.
That's pretty great.
It seems like very 1980s, too, which kind of like fits for this being.
Yeah, and so also this week we have a special guest, and that is writer and technical director Paul Roberson. He is here to talk with us about the movie. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going, girls?
Hi.
Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. It's always good to get different blood in on the podcast, so we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's no problem, especially for this movie, which is too hot to handle, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, for the time it came out, it was definitely too hot to handle.
Well, the thing is, and this was something we were talking about a little bit, is that this movie is very sexy. It's very erotic. But, like, I wouldn't say it's, like, overtly sexual. Like, there was a lot of controversy. This was something Bailey was talking about, was, you know, at the time, like, 1986.
Apparently it took 2 years for it to actually come out, though. So I'm thinking, like, it was shot in 84. So I'm wondering, were there, like, 2 years of, like, trying to edit this so down?
Wow.
Or maybe it's not even as if it was that sexualized. It's just America and their response to sex, especially kind of in the 80s. Because this was sort of, like, the height of, like, erotic thrillers, like, the 80s and, like, the 90s, really, like.
Right, but I still think this was one of the first, because when this first came out, this was a box office bomb. Mm. It did not do well. like, the reviews were kind of mixed, and the thing was, what happened was it did really well overseas, because Europeans are just a little bit more advanced than we are.
Yes.
they're just like, oh yeah, sex, that's just a thing. Like, don't make it weird, guys. Yeah. Why are you being so weird about this?
That is the weird thing about America. It's like, language and sex are treated so oddly, but violence isn't. Like,
yeah, it's the exact opposite overseas. But like here, like, you know, I as a child, it was totally okay for me to watch Terminator 2, where, you know, people are getting blown away.
Yeah.
But incredibly inappropriate, like, if people were kissing more than, like, just on the lips.
Yeah.
It's so strange how it's like, I don't know, it's because, like, people view sex sort of as this adult thing, when why aren't you viewing, like, violence in that sort of same way? Like, should a 4-year-old be like, oh, cool, I just watched Leonardo DiCaprio get his head blown off in The Departed on TNT, but God forbid I hear him say fuck.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, because that scene is, like, it's cut, like, minimally, because I've seen it on TV. It's pretty graphic in the movie, like, the theatrical release. But still on television, like, you don't maybe see, like, his brain, like, matter come out, but you see, like, him get shot in the head still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. I really don't.
No. Yeah. But then you're going to have, like, these really weird cuts where they, like, when they say fuck, it's like, not fudge exactly, but it's like, are you friggin' kidding me or whatever? That's so embarrassing.
One of the best edits of all time is Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. And they literally edited it to, I can't stand these monkey flipping snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Oh, man.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy-wise, it's gold.
Yeah. I wonder what, like, Samuel L. was like when they were like, all right, so we have to go in and do the ADR for, like, the edited for television. He's probably like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This like, is, like,
whatever, man. But, yeah. So, 9.5 weeks. Basically, like, the basic synopsis of the movie, though, is, yeah, these two people meet. They start a relationship together. And it's, like, a very, very sexually charged relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, at the very beginning, when they first meet, I was like, this could veer into romantic comedy territory. Because, like, the way he's, like, kind of pursuing her. And this is, like, primo Mickey Rourke, guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is the hottest you've ever seen him.
It's
sad just because, like, you, like, and also you understand, because, you know, Mickey Rourke went through a lot of plastic surgery, and that's why he looks, one of the reasons why he looks the way he does now. So it in some ways, it is sad to see a guy that handsome and then trying to hold on to that level of handsomeness.
Well, what ended up happening, though, is, like, he ended up getting the plastic surgeries because he went into boxing, like, in the 90s.
Yeah, and
like,
was he in an accident, too? Or was that, like, because I know, like, Mark Hamill, the reason he looks so weird is because he was, like, in an accident. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I don't know about that. But, like, I know Mickey Rourke for sure got his face, like, messed up because he was doing professional boxing.
Why would you ever be like, look at this face, let's punch it.
But he's talked about it a little bit. He said that he's, like, I think the attention he got from being so handsome, he didn't handle it well. And so he ran away from it every way he could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, intriguing. Male handsomeness is weird in that it's just kind of inherent. There's, like, you know, guys don't necessarily wear makeup. So he looks like that all the time. So he has no control over, like, how sexually attractive he is.
Imagine.
Until he loses it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, some people, because it's just, like, you know, like, because you see, it's actually funny, because, like, I've seen pictures of, like, Margot Robbie without makeup, and I'm like, I think she's, like, more attractive than when they're like, let's put all of this makeup on her. So I'm like, what's it like to, like, wake up in the morning and like,
be perfect.
Look like Margot Robbie? It must be kind of nice. But yeah, like, like, Paul makes the point that, like, there's not necessarily things that men do to enhance how they look. So it's like, you sort of, like, wake up and, like, you look like, what, like a 30-year-old Mickey Rourke? Like,
oh, my God. Like, talk about winning the lottery.
Yeah.
But, they meet by chance. And, like, oh, my God, the look. Like, when she, like, turns her head and he's, like, staring down at her. If that happened to me, I would faint. Yeah. I would literally.
Like, a guy that good-looking looking at you? Like, I've never
looking at you and, like, smiling. So,
I've,
like,
had cute guys, like, come up to me and I've been like, all right. But, like, this is between, like, he's a cute guy, he's, like, my type, and then, like, objectively one of the most handsome men that's, like, ever lived.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah. And, like, obviously a very powerful man, because he's, like, in a suit, like, he's definitely, like, very well-dressed, he's, like, is dressed expensively.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit, like, this is, like, a powerful guy.
Yeah, he projects a lot of, like, quiet power.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie, he's just projecting quiet power.
Yeah, so this whole podcast is us going to be simping over Mickey Rourke, just so you guys know.
There are moments where he's not doing anything except just kind of looking.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Observing,
you
get that.
So, like, that's sort of the power within his acting in that moment, too, is, like, when you can convey that without anything, really, like, no dialogue. I always find that interesting, like, that you can, I know, command a scene without even speaking,
right?
Yeah. And he kind of does that.
I think they both, in this movie, have a lot of moments where they are acting without speaking, and we don't get that a lot in movies, especially in erotic thrillers. Like, there's some, like, but, like, you don't get that a lot in a lot of movies now anyway, where, like, there's that part, like, in the very beginning where he surprises her with this scarf. She's at this fair, and not a fair, but, like, she's out, like, this outdoor market, and she is asking about the price of a scarf, and she's told it's, like, $300.
I love how, like, a $300 off of like a bum. Not, I'm not saying a bum, but like somebody.
Like at just like a street fair.
Yeah, like vendor, a street vendor like a is like $300 for the scarf. I too would be like, no thanks. No.
Yeah, no, it's funny because she even like questions it a little. She's like, is it really that expensive?
Right?
And she's yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, even if I made, like, she has a decent, she has like a good job. She has a great job. She's like a high class person, but even I would balk at that too.
Yeah.
No. Especially because like I have like a street fair that like happens outside of my, like a big swap meet that happens outside of my apartment building every weekend. I wouldn't buy anything for $300.
Yeah, seriously. Can you imagine?
Imagine if this is, and this, like, you're right, this looked like something that happens sort of all the time.
Right, there, right. So. It wasn't like it was like a special thing.
Yeah.
But he surprises her with it. And there's this look she gives him that I think about all the time because, like, she's like, she's been kind of like keeping him at arm's distance. Like, she's like talking to him a little bit. She's clearly attracted to him. She's all this. But he like pulls out the scarf and she has this look on her face. Mm. And it, like, I want to say it looks like resignation or something. Like, she's just like, oh, fuck. Like, all right, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And like, you know, you kind of, you do get her backstory a little bit where you like, you find out she's divorced. Like, she's clearly like, been in, like, she's in like a vulnerable state right now. So, like, you know, I think she's like not in the right mindset to be like pursued by this type of person, you know?
Yeah.
But then, like, he does that. He does, like, he pulls out the scarf and then she's just like.
Or do you go into it believing that, like, okay, I'm just gonna, cause there's a part of me that's like, kind of sounds awesome where you're just kind of hanging out and you're just having sex with this, like, hot guy, but there's, like, no real string attached to it. So, like, does she also think that this is the best thing for her at this moment? Like, going into, like, a non-relationship relationship?
Well, I mean, you know, she is just, you know, she's recently divorced and... I mean, we're talking about this, but this is like a series of charming events. Like, this is all happening in a very short period of time where she meets him at this Chinese grocery, I think. Yeah. And then he follows her to, you know, this fair, and then they have lunch in like this Italian place, and he's telling her and giving her wine and everything and like making her feel special, and then surprises her with this thing that she wanted. And like, how do you not fall?
It's definitely love bombing.
It's incredible love bombing. He knows what he's doing.
He's done this before. It's like his thing is like, I see a pretty woman, I buy her something. Yeah. I wine and dine her, and then I get her. I mean, why wouldn't it work?
Listen, like, with that face, it would work on me. It would. Yeah. I would work on me.
I mean, in fairness, I get it. Look at that man. I'm like, you'd be like, how would you not be like, okay, you're a very persuasive gentleman.
He has that line. Because, that's true. Because they first see each other at that Chinese restaurant where she's, like, buying stuff for, like, a dinner. And then at the fair, she's, like, playing with this, like, little toy chicken or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, his first line into her is, like, every time I see you, you're buying chickens. And it's like, oh, my God.
I'm
just going to go scoop myself off the floor. Excuse me. Let me pull myself together.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, they have this very romantic, like, thing together up until they get to the apartment. That's when it turns a little bit, because that's when he's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna like test this.
Yeah.
Cause like, she's like trying to get to know him a little bit, like talk to him. And then like, he kind of like says some creepy shit where he's just like, I can't remember exactly what she says. She says something like, oh, is that kind of strange? And he's like, no stranger than you. Like,
oh, actually, what
being
it was,
here with me.
Yeah, what it was is that she asked him, like, where he worked, and he was talking about being on Wall Street and like, you know, doing currency trading. She's like, oh, is that risky? And it's like, no riskier than you coming here.
I'd be like, oh, so you're gonna murder me.
This is what this is. This is a Ted Bundy situation.
You're like, oh, of course he got all of those women so easily.
But then he says He says it, like, because he's just like, you know, there's no one really around here. No one can, like, hear you if you, like, call out.
Yeah, there's no payphone on the street. There's no cab.
I love that, no payphone.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that dates the movie.
Yeah, nowadays, though, like, things like that wouldn't necessarily work, especially where you can have, like apps that you just open up and automatically call, like, 911.
Seriously, so there's like, that you, like, now, though, like, every time I've gone out to, like with someone I don't know, I've given his address to, like, or their address to like three different people.
Yeah. Oh, and I like make men come to me on dates. I'm like that asshole because yeah. I've been, it's not even like a, I feel for my safety thing. It's like one safety because I know where I am. It's a comfort zone. I could always just walk home. My thing is like, I've gone all the way out of my way and like the dickhead hasn't even shown up. So like that's happened to me. And I'm like, and then I almost wanted to be like, I am incredibly out of your league, but I'm just saying.
Just do it.
Like literally because he like apologized and be like, I just couldn't. And I was like, you know what? Fuck off.
Yeah.
So like because of that and safety reasons, I'm like, you know, your ass can come all the way to me.
Yeah. Like, no, I, well, the thing though, too, is like for me, though, I never let people come to my apartment. Like, I was never one to let anybody do that because, like, I would always go to their place because I'm like, oh, I can just like leave when I want. Like, there's something
and they don't
about
know where
that.
You live.
Yeah. Whereas, like, if someone's in my house, I'm like, I don't want to be like John Hamm in Bridesmaids where I'm like, hey, like, I don't want to be a dick, but can you go?
Yeah. It's like, please, sir, I've used you for what I need.
Yeah. I need you to leave.
Oh my God, so true. But yeah, she goes to his very sketchy situation.
Yeah, because that's not his actual apartment the first time, is it? Because it looks like it's like by the beach. It's not like, because like, you know, we see his apartment later. It's like some, I don't even know what it is.
It's super like minimalist, like flat, like, you know, loft kind of a thing.
Yeah, like it seemed almost like,
well,
I actually
maybe
thought
he has his, like,
at her house at first, but it wasn't that. Like, oh yeah, maybe like a bachelor pad.
Yeah.
Right? Where I'm like, he brings all his ladies to like test it out, and then like if he likes them enough, they go to the real apartment.
Yeah.
I don't know, they have
that
kind of buddy.
Yeah, the fake address and then the real address.
Yeah, that'd be.
Well, yeah, because like then like, because the place we see them at the most, like his place is like very nice. Like it's very obviously like a very like wealthy person. So yeah, maybe it is like a testing, like.
It's my test zone. I kind of love
that. I don't want you to like, I don't know you. You might like steal my shit kind of thing.
It's like, I know I want to present as the creepy person in this situation, but I still don't want you to steal anything.
Right? I have all the power, don't you see?
That's like kind of brilliant.
Yeah. But like, the thing though is that then like he does, he again, like, so there's this situation happens and then they kind of move past that though. Like they do start to see each other. He gets her that watch. That watch is really nice. I'm not even a watch person.
Get you a man who buys you a really nice watch.
Like a Rolex with goddamn
diamonds. Oh my God. See, I am a watch person and like a Rolex. Yeah. If a man bought me a Rolex one, I'd be like, you have an extra $14,000 just to buy a watch, and that's on the minimum side of like
that's a cheap Rolex.
Like,
that's
the one that's not completely diamond encrusted, but like shit, like I'd be like, all right yes, because the idea of like there's these little people that are like, oh, would you ever like, I am an independent woman and I want to like be a successful person on my own, but it's also like, oh, would you be like a sugar baby? I was like, I mean, if he's like a hot older gentleman and he's buying me shit like that, like maybe.
Absolutely. Maybe I think about it.
Like, why?
I work hard. I'm not going to spend my money on that kind of stuff. Somebody else can buy it for
me. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I just have, like, I have an older man to buy me a Rolex and then I could pay my own rent. But I mean, I could pay rent and I have a Rolex. Like,
Exactly.
What, and if you can't pay rent, you have a Rolex.
I could sell that Rolex and then have like a year's worth of rent.
Right. Oh man.
Yeah.
But so yeah, he like, so he definitely is like comfortable like giving her things, like lavishing her with gifts. But like, you know, when he starts then like putting in his like sexual things while he's giving her stuff, basically. Because when he gives her the watch, he's like, hey, every day at noon, I want you to look at this watch and think of me when you're touching yourself. And first of all, if Mickey Rourke said that to me, again, I would combust. I would be like,
you would never not look at that watch. And it would be before noon, afternoon, all the time. You'd be like, I have to use the bathroom. This is the eighth time today. I drank a lot of water.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'd be like, I would, you know, I was an overachiever in school. So I would definitely go above and beyond the assignment.
Yeah, what he wants.
Just me being like, Jenna, why do you keep checking your watch? Like, oh, I got an important, something important later.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes.
Real
it's
important.
Like, did you see the man that gave me this? Josh?
Excuse me.
Yeah, like how old was Mick? Because I know she was like 30 in this.
But yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How old?
But I think she's supposed to be.
He is supposed to be like 25 or something. Yeah, which is hilarious.
How by 25 and the like already divorced. Like, my God.
I was like, I wasn't even
I want a steady boyfriend at 25. I just kind of want to like hang out. Like the fact that she's already been married and divorced. Different times. Maybe.
Definitely different times, because like it seems, I mean, yeah, I think like one of the things that isn't really spoken about in this movie, but like is clear from like the actions and like what we learn from the character is like she clearly is a romantic. Like mm-hmm. she has like very idealized like visions of like relationships and love and all of that, because you know, to have been married that young, she clearly like must have been swept off her feet.
Yeah,
probably very similar to this. That's why probably why she seems so reticent at the beginning to like fall for him.
Yeah,
but then she does.
He was 31. Like they're like the same age. They're both like in their early 30s. So my god.
But they also look so grown up.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
that's the thing. Yeah. Like, is I'm, like, older than her and his age, like, when they filmed this. And I'm, like, I still feel like a child. Especially,
me too.
Kim Basinger. Like, I don't know if, like, Kim Basinger's height helps, too.
Oh, yeah, she's like, very a tall, statuesque person. Beautiful.
That so you're beautiful. Just, like, and, like, effortlessly beautiful that you're, like, fuck. Like, right? You're like, how do I strive? But I know I can't because it's just genetics.
Yeah.
You know, like, but maybe all of those things sort of, like, wrapped into one make them, or the fact that they have these, like, powerful jobs. And I'm like, he's already a Wall Street, like, bigwig at 31. And she's, like, a gallery, like, honcho. Oh, no. I was like, what is going on with, like.
And she looks so, all of her, like, outfits look so good. Like, she even looks good when she's just wearing, like, a white button down. And, like, the way her hair looks. It's so nice because she's always just, like, kind of flipping it everywhere.
Yeah, it's, like, a big blonde mane, and you're just like, okay, stop. So,
like, I'm just like, I'm not going to get out of bed today. Yeah. Like, why even try?
Yeah, and he's just so confidently in power all the time.
Yeah.
And oh my
gosh. I'm older than his character, and I don't know what's going on most of the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best.
I'm just lumbering around. I often say this about myself, is that I am, like, going through life. Mr. Magooing, just all over the place. I don't know what to do. So when you see somebody even act like a little bit like a grown up, you're like, wow, you really have it together, don't you?
But like, even he's like, you know, at a certain point in this movie, he's like, to crawl across the ground and pick up this money. And for me, talking to girls, it's like, hey, maybe you want to go to this bar, maybe?
Yeah, right? And you don't have the funds to like buy the thing that you see her like looking at. So you can't be all suave being like, I'm just going to throw $300 on a scarf for a stranger.
Right.
Because I can.
That reminds me a little bit, because there is, there's that story Mike Birbiglia says about how he was like trying to impress his girlfriend at the time. And he was like, I took her out to like this really, really nice dinner because I really wanted to rack up more charges on my credit card. And like, he was just like, and like, I guess he did that a couple times and then was like, hey, do you want to go on vacation with me? And then like had to find the cheapest vacation possible because he had used up so much of his credit card that he couldn't really pay down.
It's like, yeah, you enjoyed that dinner. Well, you're not going to enjoy this vacation.
Yeah. You wanted to go to the Bahamas? That's nice. We're going to a different island that nobody goes to, and it's cold.
Yeah. You wanted Fiji? We're going to Catalina.
Yeah, this ferry boat is really going to suck.
Yeah. Get all dressed up. We're going to the Catalina wine mixer.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh my God.
That's actually a pretty great time.
This I take that back. This man can afford these lavish gifts.
And right. And the thing is, so we've joked about it a little bit, but like this movie and 50 Shades of Grey are basically identical.
His last name is Grey. He's Mr. Grey.
It's wild that happened.
Yeah. This movie is what 50 Shades of Grey wants to be.
Sure. But like, this movie actually ends up, like, where it ends up and, like, where 50 Shades of Grey, like, the first book ended up. Because, like, with the ending of the first 50 Shades of Grey movie, or book two, is so wildly offensive and, like, very stupid and awful. And like in this one, this movie, like it has like a like 9.5 weeks has a sad ending, but it's more like bittersweet.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah, there's no like, I don't know, with like the 50 Shades of Grey movies, like this makes sense why like it's like I need to go my separate ways. Whereas yeah. like I don't know, Anastasia keeps getting like sucked more and more into like Christian's world, and I'm like, girl, there's so many red flags. At least you know Elizabeth went through these 9.5 weeks and like understood and learned from it and like saw the red flags and knew there was a need to leave it versus like the 50 Shades of Grey is like a weird, like this really wasn't a love story. Like sure they, this was like a passion. They had passion yes. for each other. They had incredible sex, but it's not the person you're supposed to be with. And that's yeah. sort of like with 50 Shades of Grey, it's like this, they end up like married by like the end of it. And I'm like, yeah. why are these two people married to each other?
No, I know it's bad. But it, in the first book, in the first 50 Shades of Grey book, basically she's like, I want you to hit me. Like, I want you to like use a belt and hit me. And mm-hmm. he's like, okay. And he's like, okay, like tell me to stop if you like, you know, basically is like, I'm doing what you want. And he does it. He does the 10 hits. And then she goes ape shit. And she calls him a monster and like says all this stuff.
But did she want it or did he force her to want it?
No.
All right, then that's strange.
Because basically what happened was he was like, I don't want to do anything that you're not comfortable with. Like, I will ease you mm-hmm. into everything that... Because, like, there is stuff he wants to do, obviously. Like, they have this whole contract thing that they do.
Yeah.
But he was, like, you know, he was definitely being very, like, conscious of the fact that, like, she has no experience. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's, like, doing this whole thing.
I don't even think it was not even, like, and at least with this is a woman that, like, had been married. This is the woman that has had sex.
Yes.
And 50 Shades of Grey, it wasn't even just, like...
She's a virgin.
Yeah, it's yeah. not even like, oh, I've had sex, but, like, I haven't done this. Because right. this is just a completely different level. And you're like, oh, okay. Versus just being like, your first experience is this. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
like, that to me is, like, I don't know why it's sort of written in that way. Because to me, it comes off... Like, I don't know, more predatory as
yes,
well?
Yes, it does.
Like,
yes.
when it's like, this is a world that you're trying not to shame, but yet you're, like, constantly shaming it within yes. what you're doing, which
because
is
that's
strange
the thing.
To me.
That's the thing, is that, like, you never used a safe word, and now you're calling him a monster because you asked him to hit you, and yeah. then he hit you. That's the ending of yeah. the fucking first book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it is wild.
See,
that's insane.
That's the problem that there's, like, it just came out that there's this baseball player who ended up truly being a monster rather than being somebody who's into, like, kinky sex. Mm-hmm. Because he's trying to say, oh, well, look at all these text messages. Like, she wanted, and, like, the text messages say, like, I want you to slap me. I want you to do this. It doesn't say, I want you to hit me so hard that I pass out and then you anally penetrate me. Jesus. So that's yeah. like, the thing. So, like, people are, like, at first people are, like, oh, don't kink shame this person. And I'm like, I'm all for not kink shaming people. Of course, there are people. And then there's a difference between a girl being, because they're like, oh, this girl wanted to get slapped. Yeah, cool. Yeah, if you like, I want to have some slapping, get slapped by my man during sex. Cool. That's awesome. I didn't ask to be literally, like, she had fractured skull. Like, yeah. went to the hospital and proved I have a fractured skull. So that's, like, where the line gets, like, completely drawn, different between like
yeah,
a kink
absolutely.
And shaming and yeah. like actually
like assaulting
yeah.
someone.
So like yeah. within that book, it's like it asks for like the little bit of a slap, and then I'm just gonna be like, you know what? You're a monster.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
seems so strange. It seems like it's kink shaming.
Yes.
Which is like very strange, especially when it's something that you said you wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like,
but no, like and the Mr. Grey in this movie would never do any of those things because like I don't know. This movie is a lot about, like, danger and safety. Like, kind of dipping your toes into danger.
Yes.
Like, over and over and over again and going maybe a little bit deeper. And kind of seeing where that limit is. And, like, that's kind of mm-hmm. the hotness of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of the hotness of, like, when he comes, you know, that's the first thing he does when she comes over is he reminds her, it's like, oh, hey, you're just in my apartment now. Nobody knows that you're here.
Oh my god. And I will say,
and she backs out, but then she comes back in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She actually leaves. Like, she's yeah. just like, nope, I don't like this.
Yeah.
She straight up says, I don't like this anymore, and then leaves. So again, yeah. like, she is drawing boundaries. And that's actually, in the end, that I think is like a very empowering message in this movie, is that like she does experiment. She goes through these things, and there's like, there's a certain point where she's like, hey, we crossed a line that I'm not comfortable mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. This now, I'm not doing this anymore. And you haven't given me enough to consider looking past this mm-hmm. indiscretion.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And I actually think that's like really cool and like a weirdly like very progressive take for a movie to have, especially in the
80s. Yeah, giving the woman sort of power over the agency. Sexuality.
They gave her agency.
Because women are sort of, I don't know, it's like, you see the moments where she, like, likes the sex, where she wants the sex, mm-hmm. versus, like, mm-hmm. movies are sort of, like, still movies don't respect women's sexuality, because if, like, women's sexuality is shown, it's, like, NC-17 versus an R rating, like...
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's also, too, like, not only a woman's sexuality, but a woman's pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is also very much, like... Hey, we don't want to go there.
We don't want to see you, the person that gives birth to babies, enjoying this thing that how like dare helps you. Impregnate you. You're just supposed to have babies.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you're just supposed to have babies, then why would a woman have like pleasure attributes to her?
Exactly.
Why would she, if you shouldn't have pleasure if you're only to breed babies. But like, no, you have sensitivity, so therefore you're supposed to enjoy what you're doing. So it's like, why are you then berating a woman for enjoying something?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like this is an erotic thriller, but this is an erotic thriller about, you know, about female pleasure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about Mr. Gray's pleasure at all. I mean, he's getting pleasure from what he's doing, but he, you know, the sexual acts that they're doing, it's not about like him coming, it's about her, like it's about getting her to come again and again and again and push herself even further.
And he's feeling the power from that.
Yeah, he's getting the pleasure from power and like, and, you know, he's getting pleasure from that, but it's not about like his sexual performance and him being like, you know, him being great at sexually performing is not about him physically having sex with her. It's about mm-hmm. taking care of her needs and like showing her needs that she doesn't even know that she has, and making her discover parts about her sexuality that she doesn't know. She, you know, it's all in service to her.
Yeah.
Whereas like 50 Shades of Grey is like, it's him. It's about him.
It's about him.
But also too, the sex in 50 Shades of Grey is so boring. My God. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, for something that's supposed to be about like BDSM and like about like kinky stuff, I was like, they are doing a lot of missionary with her just underneath him staring at his goddamn face. Why?
Because
why?
We need to see how handsome he is.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not handsome, no, but like
that's sort of like...
But also Jamie Dornan, like, listen, I do think Jamie Dornan is cute, but like, I also think he looks like three kids on top of each other in a trench coat, and like, he looks like the little rascals trying to like do a job.
Trying to bang Melanie Griffith's child. That's sort of like what it is. But one of my favorite things
I'm
ever...
I'm gonna spank you.
Like, one of my favorite things ever, though, is they, like, in like right after 50 Shades came out, mm-hmm. it was Dakota Johnson and Melanie Griffith, like, on a red carpet, and somebody was like, oh, so, like, congrats on 50 Shades, even though it's... They didn't say even though it's trash, but even though it's trash, it's making a ton of money. And they looked at Melanie Griffith, they're like, have you seen it? And she's like, no. And they're like, are you gonna see it? And she's like, no. Like, she genuinely actually looked uncomfortable. And that's kind of like, I kind of like that, because it's like, it's at the end of the day, it's her mother, and her mother sort of being like, I'm proud of my child for like being out on her own, but like, I don't need to see this movie.
I don't need to see your bush.
Kind of like, I like it. I liked that, where like, you know, you think Melanie Griffith is sort of like, like, working girl, and, you know, so you just think that she would be like, oh, yeah, now I've seen it, and it's like, no, and I'm never gonna see this, so, like, I loved that.
That's so funny.
You can be proud of your child, but you can also not want to see them be sexually dominated.
I get it.
Because
that character is so, like, meek and rigid, like, I don't know, there's just, like, I think the characters are really what makes that movie fail so much.
Yeah, it's true. But that reminds me of, like, there was this interview with Liam Neeson and Jamie Dornan. And I don't know why they were together, but they were all talking.
Just randomly in a movie?
No, no. Well, it was like some interview.
Oh, like one of those actors,
like Graham Norton or something.
Oh, okay. That they do have random people.
Oh, maybe like they just have like like whoever.
Sometimes he does. You just like I feel like that guy has random people at random times.
Yeah, it's like whoever's in England.
But it was funny. It was funny though because Liam Neeson was talking about 50 Shades of Grey and he was like, "Listen, I used to like swing her around on my knee when she was a kid, so like I feel really like uncomfortable." Watching that, and like Jamie Dornan is sitting there, and he's like, "Actually, I think I swung her around too a couple of times." And I was like, "What?
Why?
Where was this? But also, where was this? Where was this in the movie?
Yeah,
where was this like cheeky wit? Like, come on,
where does that movie fit? Like, it's so interesting. Does it fail because the source material is just shit?" And like it's so hard to adapt.
Yeah.
Does it fail? Like I don't think it necessarily failed because, in the acting.
No, no. I think it was actually pretty well acted on both ends. Like I think everybody like did their jobs. Yeah. It fails because it's not sexy.
Yeah.
The sex was not sexy. That's an automatic like fail in my book.
Yeah. So also, chemistry.
There was
the acting's great, but the chemistry, you know. They're too
good. Could be brother and sister, like the way they seem.
The way they seem, and it's just they just don't have the chemistry together that the two leads in this movie have.
Yes.
They understand what the game is.
Yeah, and I really feel like they really should have the tone of the films took it too seriously, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's like if they had gone like a little bit campier, like maybe leaned into like some of like the ridiculousness
or lean into an erotic thriller, like fully go to the roots of like an 80s erotic thriller.
Maybe, or do that. Yeah, either go one way or the other. Like they were doing this like it was a straight drama.
Yeah.
Like that they like were going to like go drama. For like fucking like Oscars or some shit. It's like, no. Very true. Like let's make this like really read
the
smutty.
Book, understand what the book is. And understand, like, even if the book thinks it's serious, the book is still based off of Twilight fan fiction. So you already don't have seriousness within it. That's like with those after movies. I think that they're sort of like, they're like the light version of 50 Shades of Grey, where it's like college for like a college Christian and a college Anastasia, pretty much. And that's based off of apparently like Harry Styles fan fiction, where somebody wrote all of the One Directions banging each other and then like turned it into somehow became this book and this like, you know, the way that like the popularity of a 50 Shades was like the popularity of this with like teenagers. But again, that fails so hard in one, I just don't think the acting is good enough. But they just, especially they PG-13'd the first one. So you have a disconnect on the sexual aspect of it. And then they went super hard with the second one. They're like, we're going to get Roger Cumble, who did Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
We're going to sex it up. But then it felt like it almost was character assassination because it didn't feel like the characters from the first movie in the second movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and like, they're still like, sure, you could put two hot people together, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be like, oh my God, this is sexy.
Right.
Whereas like in this movie, you put two incredibly hot people together and it was sexy.
But it's because they understand. Great actors.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the acting's good and they understand the movie they're in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's exactly it.
No, I think, I think you said it perfectly. They understand the movie that they're
in. Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah,
you really have to. Know. To.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put this out there, though. As someone who is a big fan of, like, a lot of fan fiction, I'm very glad that that fan fiction is getting put into, like, made into, like, real books and movies. I love it.
So good on, no, I give respect to those people that were, like, on Wattpad, just writing Harry Styles, like, blowing all of his, like, buddies. And then they're like, you know what? We're gonna, like, turn that into, like, this young, literally the same exact thing as 50 Shades of Grey. Like, this hot, rich guy and this young virgin meet, and then they start having sex. Yeah. Literally, it's the same thing.
Oh,
and
that's so funny.
It just proves that, like, if I write that, maybe it will be successful.
Yeah.
I should just work on a goddamn, like, sex novel.
No, it's true. Like, it's true. I mean, the thing is, like, I talk about how, like, in a lot of movies now, like, in a lot of art, like, everything has been kind of sterilized and like a lot of like, even if there is a sex scene, there aren't a lot of like sexy movies. Yeah. But, like, if you go on Wattpad, you will read some of the filthiest shit. And it's great. I love it, guys. I'm telling you, guys, get on Wattpad. Get on fanfiction.net.
Find all that. Like, you want Harry and Hermione banging instead of Harry and Ron? You can read it.
You can. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. You can. It's great, guys. It's so great.
But yeah, I think that the, like, you know, because we've been doing writing fan fiction, like, you know, erotic fan fiction forever, and erotic fan fiction is written in a way that, like, erotic thrillers are kind of written that, but though don't go all the way for. But, like, we keep writing that kind of stuff because, like, that's the kind of stuff we want to see. Mm-hmm. And so, like, yeah, we should start kind of, like, look, I'm going to say right now, we should start adapting erotic fan fiction into movies.
Let's do it. Netflix. Right? Get on erotic fan fiction.
Like, why not? Start licensing it.
Just, like, change the names. There's plenty of them that are just, like, saying, using the characters' names, but aren't actually, like, the IP characters, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like...
It's not saying, like, Hermione Granger. It's just saying, like, Harry and Hermione. And Harry and Hermione could sort of be...
But, like, Hermione might be, like, someone who works in a coffee shop, and Harry's just someone who, like, comes in every day.
They don't have the history. They're not necessarily wizards or shit like that.
Or, yeah, exactly. Like, it's a very easy, like, fix, like, if it's then to, like, turn into something else. Like, it doesn't have to have the connotation of, like, where it came from, basically.
That's sort of, like, with... Like, I didn't know, like, the One Direction fan fiction. I guess, like, it was probably started out. But then from there, I think that the book series after started out as just things on Wattpad, too. And then sort of from there worked on a book. But, like, those characters existed as well on that platform, too.
Yeah. That's cool.
I think. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, when erotic fact fiction gets really good, it does become... like, kind of separate from the thing that it started from.
Okay, this is going to sound really fucked up, but I'm going to tell you guys this. Because there is this fan fiction that I read.
Okay.
Oh, man. It's bad. I mean, it's not bad. It was actually good, but, like, it sounds bad. It is a Kylo Ren Handmaid's Tale crossover.
Okay. Oh, my
and
God.
It's very problematic.
That sounds terrifying.
It was. It's very bad. Has a very devastating ending, though, where he's, like, helping her escape by teaching her how to drive, like, a stick shift. And I was sobbing, guys. I was bawling my goddamn eyes out at 4 a.m. Because that's when you're reading this stuff.
Fan fiction, right?
You're not doing this in daylight hours.
You're like, 1 p.m., gotta check Wattpad.
Oh, shit, there's an update on my newest one.
Yeah, that's the thing. It works, and yeah, why not? I don't know. Now I'm just gonna, like, I'm not gonna write fan fiction, but I just might be like, how do I write an erotic thriller that's so simple, but people will love? Because that's literally 50 Shades of Grey, and that's the after movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, and I really think, like, because a lot of it are probably people our age that have grown up, like, our whole podcast is based on the fact that we have so many, like, erotic thrillers from the 90s that we love that we're revisiting.
Yeah.
So it is, like, kind of ingrained in us, and we don't have that anymore. We don't have movies like that anymore.
No,
we get the occasional thriller. Like, there's a lot of thrillers still out there, but that's still just, like... A lot of it's just like, oh, this person's trying to break into my house.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying. I'm not trying to, like, say one thing or the other about it. But give me sexy, sexy thrillers.
Like,
again.
I love, like, passion. Even on a Lifetime movie, my whole thing is, like, I want, even if the guy is terrible, I want the girl so in love with him.
Consuming.
And that's why she can't leave it. I don't want, like, I don't know, like, there was, like, a kind of a recent one that was, like, because, like, they love Ripped from the Headlines. So it was this girl... like, literally, like, was left for dead by, like, her teacher that, like, she was sleeping with. And I'm like, oh, fuck yes. This is gonna be awesome.
Like ready.
She's gonna be like, I was like, she's gonna be so into him. He's gonna be so into her. And she's gonna be like, I love you so much. We need to tell everybody that we're so in love. And he's like, well, I have to kill you because nobody can know I'm banging a 16-year-old. Yeah. I was like, this is gonna be awesome. That's not the story.
Oh, what? Man.
He pretty much is like, and it's not like you want to be on his side because you don't. And he ends up like literally being the person that's sleeping with a 16-year-old and killing her. But yeah. You like, I don't know, you want it to be sexier. You don't want it to be that like he literally coerces her into sex.
Yeah.
Like there's a moment where he like comes right into her face and he's like, you know, you want this.
Ew.
Like,
you want
this. Yeah. And she's like, I want this. So she like believes she does. And then the movie like truly does the whole, we have literally no idea why he like tries to kill her, because there's not a moment where she's like, I'm gonna tell everybody what you've done.
Yeah.
He's just like, you know what, I believe that you're gonna tell people this, so like, and I want to do this to other girls, so I'm just gonna get rid of you. Yeah. So Jesus. It became what I thought was gonna be so good into like, so I want to write the one where like they're so consumed in this moment, but then he's just like, nobody can know this, so I have to kill you type thing. You know?
I just feel like though, I'm just tired of like the teacher student.
I love it
storyline.
I love it.
I get it. I do get it. I do understand it, but like, I'm like, it's.
I
so
had
funny.
A hot
it's,
teacher.
I had Mr. a hot
Mr. Miles.
I had a couple hot
so
teachers.
I'm like, I get what it's like. Being like, all right. Or being like, I've also, my mom works at the high school, and I've been like, oh my God, I could go to jail for how hot that guy is. Like, granted, this wasn't when I was 30 and he was 18. This was more like I was 23 and he was 18. But at that point, I could still be like, I could go to jail for that guy walking into the cafeteria in his full baseball uniform. So I is like the young ingenue teacher, literally. I was just like, oh my God. But like I is the young ingenue teacher at like, let's say 22, mm-hmm. and he's like 17, 18. You're like, oh, like, damn. Like, you know,
that's
like,
so
it's
funny.
Still such an abuse of power.
Yeah.
But oh, sure, you can understand how it could happen. And it does happen. So I don't know. I'm like into that. It's weird. That's my weird kink.
Yeah. Hey, I get it.
And I, in this now, because I'm older, I'm like, I want to be the hot teacher, and I want him to be the baseball player.
You know? Yeah, you got teacher kink. That's all right. That's right. We got, like, I got a daddy kink, so, yeah. like, I understand. Oh, man. All right.
Now, the more you learn about Jenna and I.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you know, daddy kink.
My mom's going to listen to this and be like, I remember that moment, because I was like, Mom, I could go to jail. Yeah.
At least you announced it so that, like, you're holding yourself accountable.
Oh, 100% understand the situation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
No, there's a lot of power kink in a student-teacher relationship.
Right?
It's great. I mean,
it's great, right?
In fantasy, it's great.
In reality,
terrible.
Terrible, because that's like the TV show with teacher. I was like,
Kate
Mara.
Yeah, that was hard.
Like, that's the thing. At first, I'm like, oh my God, Kate Mara is going to be banging Nick Robinson. And then it gets so dark that you're like, I can't even enjoy how hot the two of them are.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, this is just an abuse of power. But then that show took a weird turn, though, because, like, I don't want to say that, because, like, they're always like, this is going to be grooming. But I felt like they never showed her groom him enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it showed him being super down with banging the hot teacher.
Yeah.
More than her real, so if you really showed the disgusting nature of grooming, I think that the payoff at the end of that TV show would have really hit you so much harder.
Well, I don't know. The thing is that, like, the way, because, like, you know, that story is specifically about, like, how, like, a woman is grooms a young man, mm-hmm. and the way the women do that is kind of that subtle.
Maybe.
And that's how, like, a lot of women get away with it,
yeah.
For years, is that, like, it's like, oh, because, like, in that show, she constantly makes it look like it's his decision to do the thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's interesting.
And then there is that, like, you know, last scene for that show, not just to spoil that show, but I'm about to, where she's, like, talking about how, like, she's, like, you know, she gets caught, and she talks about, like, how, like, she's a victim, and, like, she's one, like, search away from, like, people discovering, like, who she is and what she's been arrested for, and he's like, hey, I'm never one search away from this. Like, I'm always here.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not a lifetime, like...
No, it's not, like...
It's not a fun time.
It's, like, it's a very real, like, take on,
the situation.
On, like,
sure.
abuse in that situation. which like wasn't like interesting in that they did it that way, because like wasn't, you know, the trailer for it didn't make it seem like it was going to be that way.
No, exactly.
And it's like, almost like punishing its own audience.
Yeah, like it really is. And maybe that's like me being like, oh, I'm going to love this, and then be like, oh God, this is really bad. So yeah. Like maybe that's an interesting way to entice you, where you just think it's going to be like, and I don't know, maybe because like there's a likability to Kate Mara and there's like a cuteness factor to still, she like looks younger than she is.
Yeah, she does.
Like there are moments where like people like believe that they could be just like a boyfriend and girlfriend because she looks young, and that maybe that gets you more on like on her side at points through that, and you're just like, oh God, I shouldn't be on her side,
right?
So like
right.
That works with the acting and the casting and all of that sort of coming together.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But yes, back to 9.5 weeks.
Yeah, back to 9.5 weeks.
Did you ever find that there was like a moment that you were like, this is kind of bat shitty, this is like a little outlandish?
I wouldn't say outlandish, but there is that scene where he leaves her in her apartment, or his apartment, and she's like, when he comes back, he's like, if you were like looking through my stuff, I'm gonna like hurt you.
Is that when he sort of like, she's like on the ground and he sort of like chases her around a bit?
Like, he basically assaults her.
Kind of like, there's that scene where it felt like a rape.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this has gone beyond...
Right, and that's, I think, that is the turning point of the movie, where you're just like,
maybe this isn't as safe as he's making it seem.
Yeah, like, maybe this is, like,
it's problematic, it's leaning into beyond, like, two adults consenting into the sexual relationship.
Yeah, like, now it's,
problematic.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and, like, that was, like, I remember, like, the first time I saw that, like, being, like, really shocked by that. Mm-hmm. So I think that would probably be the moment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. Because it felt like a rape.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that very much so felt like a rape.
Yeah.
And then you don't really get the second half of that. I mean, and then, like, they just keep going.
Yeah. We never see that resolved. Like, it's just, like, it's been brushed under the,
sort of like a shame moment that, like, neither of them want to bring back up.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like they just go on like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that scene in Mad Men where... was it Joan Holloway's fiance like wants to get sexy in the office and she keeps saying no, and then he just
does it anyway.
Does it anyway, and then
they still go out, they go to dinner, and then at the beginning of the next season they're married. Very distressing, but I would say that scene for me though, like where they're like, that was the turning point. But, like, I gotta say, the ending of this movie is very devastating. When she finally, like, they have, like, a bunch of, like, sexual encounters that, like, start to get, like, increasingly, like, more violent and weird and, like, it gets, like...
Yeah, like, that the one scene where she, like, is, like, I thought it was interesting. She's like, I want to know what it's like to be one of the boys.
Yes.
And she dresses up, and then there's a moment where, like, I don't know how people think that she's a man, but then you have those guys in the car calling them, like, F-A-G and yelling at them, and I was just like, one, who cares? Let people be people. But two, like, didn't you clearly not tell that this is a goddamn woman? Well, really, really? Come on, people. Like,
it's a slight woman with a really big pecs, really.
And just like this long hair and all these feminine features and that fake mustache. I felt like she looked like Charlie Chaplin.
I was just like,
she just looks like a hot, badass working woman in this
movie. She was so hot in that, like, tuxedo looking thing. I was like, if those two came up to me at a bar and were like, hey, you want to, like, come home with me? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I might get killed, but I am
whatever.
Down.
If I die,
they have that crazy stairwell, like, sex and, like, all the, like, wetness. And I was just like, all right, this is, like, the hottest scene in this whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
The thing is, like, that movie takes me out of that movie a little bit. That part of the movie takes me out. Because it's so sexy. And also because they're, like, if this is New York, it's a lot of water. Runoff from buildings going into their mouths.
Yeah, it's like, kind of nasty. And who knows? Like, also, gross. There could be a homeless man 3 feet away from
probably smells like pee.
There's just so much urine.
Thinking about the reality of that,
she's definitely getting a UTI.
Yes. Oh,
they're both like getting like, they're getting all sorts of stuff in them. They're getting mouth herpes.
Yeah. Like, oh man.
It's like, you don't have a sexually transmitted disease. No, you have just all these other diseases.
You have New York inside.
Yeah, yeah. New Network is bad. In you.
It's like, yeah, I'm sorry. This disease only happens in pigeons. I don't know how you got it.
Yeah, all right.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Like, look, so maybe I let some wine run off go into my mouth.
I thought that sex on a stairwell in the middle of New York City was a good idea at the time.
No, visually, and like, if you've never lived in a city and don't know how dirty and disgusting
and how much New York smells, there's never not a stench in New York.
Yes.
So how they both got so turned on by New York. They got turned on by New York City, pretty much. That's like, look at New York City will turn you on.
They had a threesome with New York City.
Yes, they really
New York City is the third character in this, and they had a threesome with
that
it.
Is so, love that it. Is love accurate. Love that is accurate.
When people talk about New York being a character, this is what they mean.
Just watch this scene and you will fully comprehend that.
Yeah.
But, like, also New York being a city, like, the opening scene where you just see, like, the masses of people in New York and she's, like, walking down the street. Mm-hmm. There was one moment that isn't explained, but it almost feels like, because you just see this guy running. Mm-hmm. And then you see this other guy running after him. And I'm like, did this guy steal a woman's purse?
Because like, there's did no, they actually like, catch it?
No.
Like, did they catch, like, a real
yeah, because mugging. I was like, what is going on? Because, like, had you seen her, like, walk by that other guy, like, tackle this guy and get them. But it's weird. You just see, like, two men running, and it looks like one guy's chasing the other one. And I was like, I want to know. Like, I want this story. I want to follow these two men. Like, what is happening?
<That's> so like, funny. But yeah, both, like, so the beginning and ending is, like, her walking through the city. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at the very end, like, it's, again, I'll keep saying it, it's very devastating because she's finally, like, decided she's had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's just like, no, this isn't working for me, like, I can't do it. So she's, like, gathering her stuff, like, at his place. And they clearly, like, spent, like, one last night together. Like, mm-hmm. he didn't know until she started getting her stuff.
Yeah, getting her shit. By the way, thanks for the sex last night, and I'm leaving.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. This is but, like, then, like, that's when, like, he starts to, like, open up, though. Like, he starts, like, he's, like, trying to, like, reel her back in.
Yeah.
And, like, he's saying, like, all this stuff about how he, like, you know, he's like, oh, my parents, like, I think he says something about how his mom was, like, a cashier. And, like, I can't remember what he like, says his dad does.
I think his dad works as, like, at a foundry, and he's, like, the youngest of, I think, like, five kids.
Yeah, but then he was saying, he was just like, oh, like, my parents are, like, they're retired now. Like, I support them. Like, he's definitely, like, trying to, like, show a different side to him.
Yeah, at the last minute, though.
And like, I will say, though, Mickey Rourke kills it in that scene, because he is so emotionally, like... He is just so open. He looks like a little kid.
You can feel that like he doesn't want to lose her because he has a true connection to her. But the problem is that he was never open and honest
in the first
her.
Place. Like if he had been like sprinkling some of this stuff in with the other stuff, it would have like I don't think she would have left. Like or she might have then been like, hey, not this.
Let's talk about our relationship if we want like a true relationship.
Yeah, like I think she would have been more open to that. But like he was so closed off for so long. Yeah. Not so well, you know, anyway. But like she basically is like, it's too late. And then he keeps talking. He keeps trying to get her back, keep trying, and then she leaves. Mm-hmm. She leaves. Mm-hmm. And then The line that has gutted me for, like, as long as I've seen this movie, where he says, will you come back by the time I count to 50?
Mm.
One. Oh, my God. Yeah. I die. I cry every time. It's so good. And then he's just kind of wandering around his apartment while she's, like, walking through the city.
Mm.
And she looks very devastated. Like, she starts crying at one point. It's good. It's a very, like, thoughtful ending.
Yeah.
Like, it ends, like, the way you would expect it to. And it's really good. And I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's very true to his character because you know that he's, like, you know, that he is an incredibly passionate guy. And that he is deeply very sensitive. And you understand that, like, oh, maybe he is this way with women because he has to have, like, these...
He needs to have these
boundaries. Like, these, like, impassable boundaries that he has. And that he can be very passionate with a woman in this way and kind of not get hurt. And if she leaves, then she leaves because he's only ever really sexual. But that there is, like, this very deep yearning love in him. And that, like, yeah, and he says, I love you, after the door closes and she's gone.
Yeah, I love you, after.
Yeah. And then, like, kind of wanting to still have that power is like, will you know, it's almost like it's part of the game. It's like, will you come back to me if I count to 50?
Yeah.
And it's just so, the way he does it is so vulnerable and childlike.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In some ways it feels like a little kid asking for his mom to come back.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, absolutely. And that whole, I mean, he really knocks it out of the park in that scene. Cause like, you know, he even says like, there's that, like, when he's trying to get her back, he's like, you know, there have been lots of women. There's been lots of girls. But I've never felt this way about any of them.
Yeah.
And then he goes into it. He's like, we're like, I just like want to hold you in my arms. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, different with her than it was with any other woman.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can feel that. Like the other women leave, he doesn't care, or he's left before they could leave.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like this is probably the first woman to ever leave him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably. I think that would make sense because, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think like women have like washed out of like, you know, the very intense sexual thing that he offers. And maybe there are like some women who like come in because they want to feel alive in that moment and then they leave. But the first woman to actually leave him and that mm-hmm. she cares that she's gone.
Yeah. Well, and like that she's making a decision.
Yeah.
Even though she doesn't want to leave, but that she is leaving.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. I don't know that I could really put this one on the garbage meter because I do think this one is a really good movie. I don't know. Like, if I had to, I would obviously then go with Sweet Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I actually think this is, like, a really well-made film. I think it's really well-acted. And, like, there's never any, like, very, like, ludicrous moments.
No.
When we go into the sequel, though, the next episode, I got lots to say about that. Yeah. I got meters for days on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you guys think? How would you categorize this?
I mean, I think I agree with Jenna in that it's not necessarily a bad movie. I think the things that are working against this movie is the way United States thinks about sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and then the way that we make movies about sexuality, which is usually from the male's perspective and about, you know, about men's excellence in pleasuring women instead of like through like the female sexual gaze of like, you know, danger and safety and exploring all these things. So yeah, I guess I would call it Sweet Garbage in that I love it. But it is, you know, like in a different world, this movie would have, I mean, you know, this became much bigger on DVD when it found its own audience.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it had to edit itself because mm-hmm. it wasn't good, you know, it couldn't be shown in the United States. And
Can I just ask one question? I don't know. I felt like there could have been times where I just wasn't paying enough attention. But where the hell was Christine Baranski in this movie?
She is in, like, a couple of the scenes with, like, the art dealers.
Because I feel like she has a very recognizable face. And I just couldn't, she was, like, I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention enough because normally I was like waiting for it. And I'm like, oh, wait, I watched this whole movie. Like, where is she?
She's like there's that scene at the very beginning when they're like all like she's at that dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So maybe sort of like lost within the movie.
Yeah. Cause like she's definitely one of like the art, like one of like the art critic
I like figured
crowd
that and
whatever.
I was like, where the hell is this? Because I love Christine Baranski.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I
do.
Like, but yeah, and she has like a very unique recognizable face.
Yes.
And like and
she has like very dark brown hair in the movie. It's like dark brown.
I'd have
like
to
bangs,
just like
I
look
think.
At a scene and be like, oh, that's her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just like, where is she?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's how I felt like the, you guys definitely love this movie more than I do. There were like moments where I was like, I found myself a little bored and like when the sex definitely brought me back into the excitement of it, which I thought was really good. But I agree. The acting is very, very good. The chemistry is top notch, which is something to me, the chemistry is like number one to not even just an erotic thriller, but like anything. Like, I love Titanic, but like 90% of that movie is shit without Leo and Kate's performance and chemistry. You cast any other people, the movie isn't nearly as successful as it is.
So, well, like, I remember they were talking about people they had for that movie, the bigger people they wanted. And it's like, I think that movie would have failed.
Yeah, it probably would have sucked. Yeah. So, like, and honestly, because, like, the script itself, like, it would never have sucked in the spectacle that Titanic was, because it's a spectacle, and it still pretty much holds up relatively considering that it was 1997. Good. I think because most of it was practical effects versus, there were certain CGI, but going more practical than CGI helps that.
Yeah.
But then you need that, like, Romeo and Juliet thing, and you really need the two people that you can feel are passionately in love with each other. Yeah. And I think it works so well. So I think that the passion aspect of this movie, like, was really good. So I probably say I wouldn't really put it on because it's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. It's not so. So yeah, I put it off the...
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I do agree with that.
So that's sort of where I am on it. But yes, we'll get into the next one for our next episode.
Yeah, so we're going to do a two-parter episode on this because we put... You know what? We did this so you don't have to. We watched the sequel. So you're welcome, everybody. But we are going to talk about it because, you know what? Now we need healing.
Yeah. So this is part one. And, get ready to join us for part two.
All right. We'll see you in a bit.
Sweet, sweet garbage, baby. Sweet, sweet garbage, baby.